All righty. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know if I'm on, I guess. Yeah, it was a big fear of mine that was going to come on while I was singing. You know, my voice would just boom over everything, so I'm glad it didn't. My name is Luke Walker, and this is my wonderful wife, Havila, and we are really excited to be able to share with you guys this morning, and it's a real honor and privilege just to be able to have the opportunity to share this morning. So thank you. And I'm going to begin our time in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We just give this to you, Lord. And I ask that you would speak through our words. You would speak through your word. Our words can't change anything, but yours can. Your words are life. And I ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds, and you would make us sensitive to your Spirit's work in us today. Thank you, Lord, and we give this time to you. Amen.
All right. So, as Luke said, we're so, so thankful to be able to share this. This is something that we both have been really interested in. We've studied a lot. We've prayed as we've prepared this. We've done a lot of research. And discuss this topic with a lot of different people in different stages of life. And so we are really honored and thankful to be able to stand in front of you. Many of you, you know, people we know really well, all of you are friends. But even so, it's a little nerve-wracking because it's such a tricky issue. It's such a tricky subject. And people have so many differences of opinion, even within the church. And so even though this topic might be a difficult place to go, and maybe for some people you hear what we're talking about and say, oh yeah, this is great, I'm ready for this. But for some of us, maybe this is a difficult place to go, but all we're asking is just open up, be willing for God to speak to you and willing to evaluate where you are in this area. Obviously, just because we're standing up here, it does not mean we're coming from a place of perfection, but we're really excited to share parts of our testimony and how God's worked in this area of our life and things that we've learned through study and through applying his word to this subject. And so today we're going to talk about the subject of entertainment media. And you might say, wow, that's unexpected. Do we talk about that in church? We do, because it's important. So I want to kind of qualify what we mean by this. Entertainment media isn't just any entertainment. We could talk about things that are in print or drama that, you know, wouldn't necessarily be pertinent to this subject, but we're going to narrow this to entertainment media that comes specifically through technology. So this does not mean that we hate technology by any means. No. There are great things about technology. It's not the actual thing. It's how it's used and how it's overused. And that's what we're going to discuss today. The topics that we narrowed it down to, where we'll pull a lot of our examples from, will be movies and TV shows, pretty obvious, might be the first thing you think of when you think of entertainment, video games, social media, music, sports media, as in not being at a sports game, but watching a sports game or having the stats running on your phone, whatever it may be. And the last one we added is news media. Now, this sometimes is a shocker because we think, wait, but news isn't really entertainment. It's all true. Well, it's not all true, but we won't go any further into that. We'll kind of stop that. But we can all agree on the fact that news is still selected to attract the attention of an audience, to maintain the attention of an audience. And so we're going to put this in this category because the principles that we'll discuss will still connect with this form of media as well. And as I said, since there's a lot of gray area, like how does the Bible speak to this subject? We don't look up verses about Instagram or, you know, the newest TV shows. It's not right there in black and white. It feels like there might be a lot of gray area, but we'll discuss some black and white biblical principles that will fill in some of that and help you and I to evaluate through those principles. So our challenge is evaluate yourself, but also as you may be in a position of authority over someone or in a position that you're caretaking for somebody, think about the people that you're responsible for as well, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, maybe younger siblings, students that you teach at school, whoever this may be, we're all modeling this area of life to someone. We all have people that we're nurturing, guiding, and protecting. And so think about it not only for yourself, but also for the people that you care for and that you're responsible for.
Yeah, and as we begin this morning, I think it would be helpful to get the proper perspective down. We want to put everything in a frame for you. And I think in dealing with tricky issues such as this one, it's particularly helpful to have the big picture in mind, the end goal. And Hav and I today, we aren't going to give you like 7 self-help hints that will change your life, or, you know, we're not going to give you like we're not going to dig into the particulars of this topic, but we want to draw out some biblical principles and apply them to 2 categories, specifically how entertainment media affects your relationship with God and with people. And so since we're going to be dealing with those primary relationships, I think it would be helpful to look at a passage of Scripture that speaks to this. And we find this in Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22, in which Paul says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Now, at this point, you might be wondering, how does this passage relate to entertainment media? I think it relates directly to this topic. You see, this passage gives us the end goal. Like, you were saved not just for your own sake. You were saved and brought into something so much bigger. When you crossed from death to life as a believer, God brought you into his family, into a relationship with himself and with a body of believers. We as believers are a part of something so much bigger, something so much greater. And I think especially in the area of entertainment media, which affects so many areas of our everyday life, we need to look at such a broad topic with this wide lens. And that will help us get the proper perspective. That if our salvation isn't about us, and we're called to be living in a community that's about something so much bigger, then we need to start thinking about how that affects our areas of our lives. And this passage can speak to, I believe, every single area of our life, whether it's how you work, whether it's how you eat and how you live in a marriage relationship. It goes into every area of life, and today we're going to be looking at how it affects entertainment media. This category, it's huge, and it affects so many parts of our everyday life. And I think this passage speaks directly to this. I mean, it's amazing that in the world that we live in, there's so many broken relationships. There's so many strained relationships that this is the ultimate hope of the believer, to be living in a body that doesn't have any broken relationships. I think that's so cool. And God is working and is developing that even now. Even where we are right now. And on top of that, we can know the God who made the universe. That we are being made into his dwelling place. This God of whom the psalmist says, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the God that we can know and who is drawing us unto himself. So today, keep this in mind, that we are called and we have been brought into a relationship with God and with people. And media affects those two relationships for both good and bad. And it shapes us. It's such a big part of our lives. We consume and participate in so much of it that it's undeniable the fact that it does shape us. And this is our first point this morning, that nothing in media is neutral. Just think of it. I mean, anything that you consume is going to affect your body one way or the other. In the same way, what we consume mentally and emotionally through entertainment and social media is going to affect us. I think my personal story, our personal stories, illustrate this fact, this principle very well. I was blessed with a godly home and godly parents. And growing up, they did a really good job raising us as kids. However, there's one thing I regret, one of the things I regret from my time growing up, is that the life of our family often revolved around the television. That this one object in the living room of our home was like the center of our family time. That our routines and schedule kind of circulated around what was going on that TV. And it wasn't like we were watching a lot of bad stuff, but it was unhealthy, the amount of television that we were consuming. And ultimately, some of the things that I saw on TV, movies, advertisements, eventually fueled a life that I lived in bondage to lust. And eventually I followed this road to pornography. And this lifestyle of living a life that was kind of centered around entertainment, that followed me into college. Even though in college I didn't have a television, I had my iPad, I still was focused on entertainment and what could I consume to entertain me. And eventually, for a number of reasons, there was one semester in college, I can remember specifically, where I was entirely demotivated. That I'd been consuming so much over and over the years that everything else just didn't really seem like that desirable to me. That like going to church or reading my Bible or spending time with the Lord just didn't seem exciting to me anymore. And I would just stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning, binge watching The Office and shows and movies. And I didn't want to do anything else. I wasn't doing homework. I didn't want to live in a close community with people who might, you know, look negatively on how I was living. And ironically, during that time, I was trying to be involved in a ministry. But my personal life, I think, totally nullified any fruit that could have been born out of that time. And it has been by the Lord's grace over the last few years of Him slowly bringing me out of that place and restoring me. And it's been by His grace. And it seems like it's been like a number of surgeries that He's like had to put my spirit through to bring me out of that time. It's like I was eating donuts every day and then surprised when I wasn't healthy anymore. Like, media affects us and it shapes us for both good and bad.
Yeah, so as Luke said, our first point is nothing is neutral. Now, his testimony focused a lot on his personal relationship with God and how he saw the world around him through that lens. With mine, it had more of an effect on the relationships around me. So it played into my relationship with God, but it more distorted my view of relationships. Like Luke, I was raised by very godly parents, and I'm so thankful. All of my siblings which there's five of them, so there's a lot of us. Probably see them here and there around. All of my siblings are following the Lord at this point, and I am so, so grateful for that. But one of the choices that my parents made when they were raising us is, because of the area we lived in, they decided to not send us to the district school. So we were homeschooled. And again, like any education, there's good, there's bad, there's pros and cons. And one of the cons of the situation we were in is I wasn't able to interact with a lot of people that were my own age. I didn't have a lot of close friendships. If I did have friends, they usually lived far away. And so with the dawn of social media, around the time when I was 13, 14, it seemed like, yes, this is something I can connect to people through. So I very quickly got Facebook. Ooh, that's not cool anymore, at least among younger people, I guess. I don't know. I still have it, but. So I got Facebook, and it very quickly, I would say, became an addiction. I would spend hours on social media. And on my best days, I was posting perfectly manicured pictures of myself. I was putting makeup on through like a photo editing tool before I was allowed to wear makeup, so that was a little rebellious, not a good thing. But on my worst days, I used it to feed that sense of self-pity that I had. I didn't like the situation I was in a lot of times, and sometimes I didn't really like who I was in that stage, and so I would feed this self-pity, oh, this person has so many friends, this person's dating this person, they're going here, they're going there, and then it would progress usually into a worse stage where I used it to be really judgmental of other people. So I'd say, oh my goodness, those people aren't friends anymore. I wonder what happened, and be super judgy. So this, and it's interesting because I've only recently realized how deeply this affected me. This began to develop a wrong view of people in my mind. Because I wasn't interacting with them closely, my perception of people was starting to be skewed. And my perception of relationships and what a healthy relationship looks like was starting to be changed. Another thing, one of my brothers, I think it was, got a Netflix subscription. So obviously, that also became an issue. And I would usually sit in my room at night, I'd watch hours of TV every night. And it's not that I was necessarily consuming things that were bad, but it isolated me, even from the relationships that were close to me, even from my family. It gave me a sense of false fulfillment. I was occupied with something. I was doing something. I was emotionally engaging with the characters and the TV shows I was watching. And it was falsely fulfilling a need I actually did have. And praise God, it wasn't because I had a ton of discipline and I broke this habit and I was, you know, really motivated. It was because I, after high school, chose to go to a one-year Bible college. I'm so thankful for that. It changed my life in a lot of ways. But unintentionally, it broke that habit really quickly because they had a rule on campus that you couldn't watch movies unless a staff person was there. And you can imagine how many movies I watched, like two, I think, the whole year. But for me, this was really good because it cut that habit I had off. And instead of feeling that isolation that I had in high school, I was able to connect with real people around me and develop spiritually significant relationships with the people that I went to school with. And when I came home from that year, then being able to pursue that for myself, I didn't want to go back to the things that had taken up so much of my time and my energy in high school. I wanted what was real. I wanted real relationships. Again, we're not saying that media is bad, but we're discussing the overconsumption of it. In my life, the overconsumption of this kind of media made me judgmental and made me not see relationships accurately and falsely fulfilled in that relational need. The danger of media is that it can deceive us into thinking that we need something that we don't, into desiring the wrong things. It can promise a fulfillment to us that only Christ and spiritually significant relationships within the body of Christ can satisfy in us. It's undeniable that God designed us for community. This is a need we physically have. It's kind of like bouncing off of Luke's junk food illustration. We all need to eat, right? Our stomachs get hungry. We say, oh my goodness, I'm starving, even though we're not really starving yet, unless we don't eat for a long time. But we could eat something really junky. I used to love Doritos, Skittles, and Mountain Dew. Those were like my three favorite foods, which is so gross now I think about, oh my goodness, why did I like that? And I could eat enough of it so that it made me feel like I was full. That might make you sick. I'm sorry. But if you've talked to anybody who's gone from that transition from junk food to healthy food, that is like a hard transition, because as you eat something over and over again, that's what your taste buds start to desire. So you look at those bright, beautiful Skittles and say, oh, they look so delicious. But over time, if you maintain that diet, you're going to have some severe deficiencies in your body, for sure. And when you try to make that transition from junk food to healthy food doesn't always seem appealing. When you look at that pile of kale or quinoa or whatever, you'd say, oh man, I don't want to eat this.
Yeah.
But he likes a lot of healthy food. But as you make this transition, your tastes gradually change with it. And you probably know somebody, maybe you've experienced this yourself, when you transition, your taste follows. It doesn't lead, not necessarily, but it follows. This is the same in what we desire in our relationships around us. We all obviously know we need relationships. This is known even on a biological level. Scientists will tell you this. And what's interesting is we've known this for centuries. I heard this study that was done, and it was really incredible, really stuck with me, and I want to share it with you. In the 13th century, there was a monarch who did a study, and he wanted to know what the core language of someone is. And as a language geek, I'm an English teacher, so I was like, oh, this is so interesting. So he did this test study where he took these two groups of children who didn't have any parents, and he put them in different living situations. One situation was very normal. They were, you know, fed, clothed, cared for, talked to in, you know, their native language, and they grew up to be healthy, strong, normal, average adults. The other group, he told the people that were taking care of them, feed them, give them clean clothing, take care of them, but do not touch them and do not talk to them, because he wanted to see what language would come out. Hebrew, Arabic, Greek, Chinese, who knows? Unfortunately, his experiment failed because every single one of those kids died for lack of emotional relationship. We know this now, moms, you probably know of this, that if infants don't get enough emotional connection as a child, there's something called failure to thrive syndrome, where they physically will be suffering from that lack of emotional connection. And what's cool is that God has already told us that we need relationships. His word says this in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. There's this beautiful passage about God telling us, hold on to the hope that you have in Christ. And it picks up in verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Second, to hold on to the gospel, hold on to the fact that you have been saved by the grace of God through faith. The very next thing that the author finds so important is, have connection with other believers. Don't neglect that. Don't pull away from that. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 27 builds on this. It says, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of one of you is born into it. See, when we cross from death to life and we are born again, as a lot of church people will use that phrase, we're not born into isolation. It's not by choice that we're born into the family of God, because God knows. He knows our deepest needs because he knows how he made us, that we need this relationship. So you may ask, why talk about media in relation to this? Entertainment media can affect our relationships in a few main ways, and I'll discuss these three. It'd be distortion, false fulfillment, and reducing the quality in our relationships. And again, the interaction that we have with some forms of media can change our taste from desiring what is best, what God has given us to desire and to pursue, and it can distort, it can falsely fulfill, and reduce the quality we have in those relationships. First one I'll talk about is distortion. it changes what we think we need. The overuse of media can distort what relationships really look like. I'll give a few examples of how certain media can do this. I think a lot of times in social media, and if you're not a social media person, don't worry. I'll get to some examples that don't relate to that. But for this subject, it really speaks a lot to it. How we see friendships and relationships can sometimes be distorted by social media, but also really by what movies and television tell us a relationship should look like. We see them sometimes as showy. It's all about what you're doing with people, what crafts you're doing together, or where you're going golfing, all those things. It becomes a show. Sometimes it becomes so shallow because it's easier just to text somebody rather than sit down and have a deep conversation with them. Or all we see of other people's relationships is this shallow surface where we don't really know. We all know that. We've looked at somebody and said, they look like they have it all together. And then we all know as soon as you get to know somebody deeper, you realize that they don't. And the danger of media in this area is that it's so easy to see people's surface level and not the rest of them. And a lot of times we think, oh, it's just based on common interest. We watch shows and then we talk about them. Or we go to a movie and we say, oh man, that movie was so cool. And that's what we becomes part of our friendship and the substance for how we connect. And as Vicky shared so well a few weeks ago, that our bond as believers is so much deeper than that. It's a spiritual bond because of the Spirit that is within us. The second area that I'll talk about is one point I wanted to make under the other one as well. Another way that entertainment media messes with our perception of relationships, I think, is also in romantic and marriage relationships. We could probably all agree with this. We see an ideal that is normal, that's not God's design for these relationships. We see living together as normal, or we see how our culture says, this is a man, this is a woman, as normal. It messes with our perception of what we need in relationships. It messes with how we see ourselves and how we see other people. Another way that it does this is our news stations are often overly negative all the time. Maybe there's a cute cat video once in a while, but most of the time it's overly negative, and it starts to mess with our perception of people around us and of the whole world, saying, wow, this world is so messed up and there's nothing good happening. Whereas we can, as Christians, hold on to the fact that God is sovereign and that his people are working through this world and that there is good happening still. So now I'll move to my next point. Media can give us a sense of false fulfillment. It says, oh, you have what you need. This is what you need. What's really interesting is that scientists have begun tracking this. When they monitor the parts of the brain that respond emotionally, when you have a conversation with somebody or when you give them a hug, however you emotionally connect, there's parts of your brain that release hormones. These are good hormones, and your body needs that. That's how it feeds that physical feeling or that physical need. But the same hormones are released when you watch anything that shows a human face. This is very interesting. I found this fascinating. So if you watch a sporting event or, you know, a TV show, music video, whatever it may be, those hormones are releasing. But the problem is that they're overstimulating that part of your brain. It's like this. Your normal levels would be here, and those are way up here. And we all know that if you're getting something in a greater quantity than you're supposed to, you'll become used to that, and everything else will seem so dull and not nearly as rewarding. It's a way of falsely fulfilling us. And obviously, a lot of times, this type of reaction leads to addictive nature. But we don't need science to necessarily tell us that anything out of moderation becomes an addiction. A lot of these things have very addictive properties to us. And then gradually, it'll make us feel like fellow believers and the relationships that we could have with them, they're not quite satisfying enough. They're not good as this media that I'm consuming. Another way that it does this, we all as people have a search for significance. We want to say something to the world. We want to communicate. We want to change things. And a lot of times, maybe where we are in life, we feel like, I don't have that big of an influence. I can't do that to the extent that I want to. And it's something that media does is that it makes everyone else's life so accessible that we can almost live that search for significance through a celebrity, by following everywhere they go, all the things that they're saying, a political figure, whatever it may be. We follow this and we say, I want to feed this search for significance through this other person's life that we can see so much of. But in reality, we're the church of Christ. We have a significant impact on other people and on the world. We have this, but media says you can feel fulfilled in this through another avenue. And then lastly, it reduces the quality. The overuse of media can sometimes reduce the quality that we do have in relationships. Our conversations may stay on the topic of sports or stay on the topic of politics or stay on the things that we're watching, or we're listening to, whatever it may be, or the video games that we're playing. And our conversations stop at surface deep. And it obviously means that you can't, doesn't mean that you can never talk about something that's not super deep and super serious. But it gives us an easy way to not have to go into those topics because there's so many other things to talk about. And we don't receive the full benefit of spiritually significant relationships around us. And gradually, those things change the taste that we have for relationships. So what do we do? Let us push forward in seeking true, lasting fulfillment by bringing our media into moderation instead of overuse or the improper use. Luke's going to talk more about that.
Yeah, and in the same way that media consumption and participation changes our taste socially, I think the overconsumption and participation in media changes our tastes spiritually. Over the winter, I read through the book of Psalms, and for much of my life, the book of Psalms has mystified me in a way. In it, the authors speak of longing for the Lord in the same way that a deer longs for water, or desiring even the courts of the Lord, fainting after just being in the house of the Lord. One psalmist says that he desires the Lord above anything else on this earth. And they speak of this desire, this taste that they have, this craving that they have for the Lord with such depth of emotion that often when I read these psalms, I find myself feeling kind of detached. Like, I don't always desire the Lord in the same way. I often don't feel that like craving for the Lord in the way that these psalmists did. And even though I have something more than they did, that in Christ, every believer in this room can go a step further than they could. They could only go into the court of the Lord, but as a believer in Christ, we can go before His throne as His children, that we can have an even deeper relationship with God. But even with that, I've talked to many believers who have spoke of having that same sense of detachment. You know, there's a lot of believers who can give you all the right answers. They can tell you of that day when they crossed from death to life, but they don't have that feeling. They don't have that, like, emotional longing for the Lord. And not that it's all about feeling, and there are probably a number of reasons for this. But I think one thing that we can point to is if you can go and have a deep relationship with God, and in prayer you can literally go before His throne, I would ask you, how long do you spend there? How much time do we as believers actually invest in our relationship with the Lord? I mean, the psalmist says that at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Do you not think that he was speaking from experience? I mean, why else would Paul in Colossians chapter 3 tell believers that since we have been raised with Christ, We need to seek the things that are above. As Paul says in verses 1 through 4, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I mean, because of what Christ did for us on the cross, we have been set free from the bondage of sin, from the punishment of sin, and we can have a relationship with God. But why, since this is the truth, why is it this not a joy for me to live out all the time? Why don't I desire this all the time? And I know that I often get so distracted in my life. I have so much going on, and so many of us are just so busy, aren't we? Like, I literally have to carve time out of my day just to spend a few moments with the Lord in prayer, in his word, and in sacrificial service. I think that we're often, our lives are just full of a lot of these distractions, and some of it is stuff you can't avoid, but sometimes it is stuff that we can cut out. One of these things is entertainment media. I mean, often when I'm on my way to work, I install garage doors for a living, and the early morning hours often find me in my work truck driving to a job site. And in those initial drives of the day, I try to spend time praying and listening to my audio Bible. It's kind of like my quiet time. And without fail, there is always these nagging thoughts that are just like, just turn on the radio. Just turn on an audiobook. Just put on some music. Like, there's something there that is drawing me. And even when I do have times where I'm at home having my quiet time, there is music that is playing in my mind from what I've been listening to. It's not even bad music, but it's there. And in this first part, I'm not even just talking about like the morality of the media that we're consuming. It's just so much easier, isn't it, to consume the media, to turn it on, put the headphones in, and check out. Even if it's good, it's so much easier than it is to like spend time in prayer or to spend time in God's word. Because when I put in that music, I can have something right now. And this isn't by accident. Like, this has been something that the enemy has been using for all of time. Think of it this way. He convinced Adam and Eve to disobey God because it was easier to do what they wanted and could understand. He convinced generation after generation of Israelites to do what was easier. That even after seeing the glory of the Lord, it was easier for them to make their own gods, to make gods that they could see and understand and see like an immediate result. And he has convinced so many Christians in our age to just lie down, turn on the TV, put the headphones in, have something right now, just because it's easier. And I'm not saying this morning you got to go throw your TV out the window. Please hear me. But just evaluate. Be aware of this. And I think the things that you are doing, the things that we invest our time into, is what we come to desire. It's what we develop an appetite for, a taste for. And if so much of our time is in these other things, even if they're not bad, and we're not spending any time or hardly any time investing in our relationship with the Lord, then don't be surprised when you don't desire him. And on top of this, often the media that we turn to because it's easier, even if it's not like overwhelmingly bad, it probably still has a little bit of sin mixed into it. And with the amounts of media that we consume, like we're consuming a large amount of this negative sin. Compare it to this. It's like drinking a gallon of water with like a drop of poison in it. It's still going to have an effect on your overall health. And at the rate that we consume media, it's like we're drinking hundreds of gallons of this water. If you drink poison, you're going to die. Paul speaks to this in Romans 8:13 when he says that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's hard to do these things, but we're not alone. This is the beauty of God's grace, that in our relationship with Him, He's given us help. I want to encourage you today, just think about what we have in Christ. We have something so much better, a relationship with God. So grab a hold of it. Pursue it. God is not far away from any man. And He says that He rewards those who seek Him. So do the hard thing. I want to encourage you, just evaluate where you are. It may be hard, but what we have in God is 100 billion times better than anything that we could ever watch or listen to or consume. So let's grab a hold of it. May our tastes not be for what we have been set free from, but may our tastes reflect what we have been set free for, our relationship with God.
So one of the things Luke touched on was in consuming all that water that has that little bit of poison mixed through it, a lot of times we as Christians can go through a process of being desensitized to sin. And so in summary, we're going to talk about kind of the moving forward. We talked a lot about this is how media makes you unhealthy in these areas. But moving forward, I'm going to talk more kind of about the preventative, like how do we be healthy and prevent things from poisoning us? And then Luke's going to talk more about the positive moving forward. So as we evaluate the media that we are consuming and the levels of poison that's in it, a lot of people use this verse, Philippians 4:8, to evaluate our thought life, which is super important. But this can be also connected to and used to evaluate our media life, because our media becomes our thoughts eventually. We watch it, and then it, like Luke said, it cycles in our mind. So looking at Philippians 4:8, think about this in relation to media and every form of it that I listed. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, so the news media that does not play the truth, don't watch that media because it's not true. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. I like this word because it gives the idea that we're promoting it to other people. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things or listen to these things, watch these things, consume these things. It almost looks like an art definition here. Like what this could describe what we could see as art or as beautiful. And let's think about the things that we are consuming as, is this what God calls beautiful and good? Or is this what our culture is calling beautiful and good? Which often are two very different things. So in talking about this, let's quickly talk through just a few thought points about the big three that we evaluate, usually movies with, but let's apply it to all media. The first topic is the issue of sex and nudity in media. Again, this causes a desensitization process, but it also causes us to think about it more, right? When you see things, when you're hearing music that's glorifying a lifestyle that's not glorifying to the Lord, it just makes you unnaturally aware of this sin and makes us think about it a lot more, which then, as it continues to cycle, it fuels the very sex-saturated culture around us, a culture that defines people just by their sexuality. And eventually, we lose sight of the souls of these people who are playing the parts, who are singing the songs. Do we think about that? Do we think about the actors who are putting themselves in front of people, in front of movie theaters that are playing these movies all across the globe? While violence can be faked, nudity and this element cannot. It's real. We see it. And as Christians, my challenge to you is, does this compromise what our view of real art and real beauty actually is? This is shameful. It's not beautiful. God does not confirm it as good, and we cannot commend it to our culture either. Violence is the second category we usually think through. Violence can be used sometimes to depict something as wrong, like in war films. A lot of times it shows us the reality of what war actually is. It can be used tastefully to tell a story of heroism and of good, triumphing over evil. These are good things. But when it's overly glorified and overly emphasized, again, it's that process of being desensitized to it. Think about it as well. Is this being used in a way that is promoting justice? Is it a shoot 'em up movie where this guy gets his own way and takes advantage of everybody and walks out a satisfied person? That's not justice. That is not what God commends as just. So again, it takes some critical thinking. How is this being used to promote? Is it God's version of beauty and justice and goodness, or is it the world's version? And language is probably the easiest to talk about, because if you're not trying to speak that way, listening to it more isn't going to help. And so, obviously, all of these categories need wisdom and biblical principle connected to them as you evaluate, but just be aware of the fact that it's not neutral and it changes us.
Yeah. So, in closing this morning, our prayer is that, you know, this afternoon, this week, just be in prayer and be evaluating. Why do I do the things that I do? There's so much of this that we just do automatically. I think we don't even think about it. But just ask the Lord to be showing you, what are some things that I need to cut out? We're not saying that you need to throw out everything. I mean, Wes, you got to throw out your record collection, and Bennett, no more Cubs games. You know, like, you just, no, we're not saying that. We're saying, are you consuming the media in moderation? And is the media that you're consuming and participating in, is it healthy? So I think we wrote out like a list of questions that I think are helpful as you evaluate what is in your home. Number one, does this contain poison? Is this movie or song have sin in it that is going to poison my spiritual health? Is this commendable? Is this something that I would want to tell another believer about and say, hey, check this out? Is the lifestyle that is in this music something I can promote? Is this something I would watch with another believer? How is this media going to change my taste? How is it going to change what I desire? And if things fail these, then replace them. There's so many good alternatives out there. And maybe it means just cutting it out completely. Like, our lives are so busy. I mean, we barely have enough time or even room to just think. So be thinking of these things. And I think it's helpful to initially, after evaluating, you're going to have to set some boundaries. You're going to have to make some structure to change habits that have been formed over years and years and years. And just remember that you're not alone in this. That the Lord is right there with you, and ask Him to come alongside of you in this process. He's not far away. I think some other helpful things for, like, families, I mean, maybe set a rule for instance, don't watch a movie on Saturday night. Sunday morning comes, and that's all you can think about during the service. I mean, just things like that, simple changes like that can really affect, I think, your family or your spiritual life positively. I think consuming media that is in in the open, playing music out loud, watching movies with other people. Just having that accountability is really helpful. And lastly, if you're struggling to have like a personal time with the Lord, then set a time and place to make that happen. And if you struggle with actually interacting with people face to face, set a time and place for that to happen and stick to it with both of those. And if you apply discipline to those areas, I believe that a desire will follow. So thank you for listening to us this morning. And if you have any questions, please ask us. And we're still growing in this area. Yeah. We have a lot of growth to even do. So yeah, feel free if you have any like helpful hints that have worked for you, let us know. So in conclusion, I'm just going to close our time in prayer, and then you guys will be dismissed. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that your word transcends time and ages, that it can speak to our age that we're in right now. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would be with us this week. Be speaking to our hearts, soften our hearts, that we can hear your words and be speaking to specific areas in our lives that, hey, maybe we need to change this. Lord, you are more desirable than anything else in this earth, and I pray that we would come to desire you more. Thank you, Father, and in your name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.